Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church today on this sunny day. We're glad to have you here today. A few announcements today. One is a reminder that next Sunday is our Christmas party and Christmas pageant. We hope that you can come. So please come next week and bring a side dish and bring your own place settings. But I understand someone wants to bring in paper plates and stuff, so you don't have to do that. So if you bring them, fine. If you don't, that's fine too. We do have some sad news that we just learned yesterday, that Candy Binkert, one of our former members of the church, passed away unexpectedly Friday night. Her funeral service is going to be held here on Thursday at 11 o'clock, and I think there's going to be a luncheon next door. The visitations are going to be at Neely Funeral Home on Wednesday between 2 and 4 and 6 to 8 p.m. at Neely Funeral Home for Candy Binkert. See if there's anything else here. There's a kind of just a small thing in the bulletin. The anthem will happen before the Advent candle lighting service, so I don't think that's a big change for you, but just FYI for that. And let's see. Yeah, and obviously, yes, the angel tree is up in the back. So after service today, please go back and see if you want to find an angel to give them a gift for Christmas. With that, we turn it over to Rebecca.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
There will be a luncheon for Candy after the service here at the church. Any help would be appreciated. I'm assuming they're bringing some of the food, but we are preparing some of it. So any help will be appreciated.
Yeah, so any help with the funeral, with the luncheon on Thursday would certainly be appreciated, and we're still working out the details since this all happened pretty quickly.
Yes. One final announcement. You'll see in your bulletin there's a flyer for the Longest Night service. So Ben Avon Presbyterian Church, which is kind of the Elfin Wild of the western part of the city, they invited me and another pastor to participate in their Longest Night service. And it's going to be held on Thursday, December 20th at 7. A few of you have asked me, what is a Longest Night service? And this this service, the best way I can describe it, is a service of Advent longing. So for a lot of people, Christmas is not this happy, jovial time. It's a time where they're reminded of loved ones who are no longer with us, of children who have grown and are not kind of living in the same area. And this service is a little bit more quiet, a little bit more meditative, and it's a way for people to engage with the season, maybe without kind of all the fanfare of a Christmas Eve service. So if you or someone you know has had a pretty rough year and is going through a difficult time, this is a really great service to invite them to. Myself and two other pastors will be sharing worship leadership in that, and we invite you to attend. If you're not sure where the church is, just ask me and I can give you some directions. With that, let us turn our hearts and our minds to worship with our call to worship. In the lonely places, the wilderness, where we stand forlorn, windswept and alone, your voice calls out, "Prepare a way for the Lord." In the dark places, the shadows, where we hide our fears, embrace our tears, your voice calls out, "Prepare a way for the Lord." At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me in our opening hymn, number 106, "Prepare the Way, O Zion."
Thank you.
join me for our prayer of confession. God of the future, you are coming in power to bring all nations under your rule. We confess that we have not expected your kingdom, for we live casual lives, ignoring your promised judgment. We accept lies as truth, exploit neighbors, abuse the earth, and refuse your justice and peace. In your mercy, forgive us. Grant us wisdom to welcome your way and to seek things that will endure when Christ comes to judge the world. Please join with me in our words of assurance. Our Lord Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Confess the faith of our baptism with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From thence he shall come to judge the quick
and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated for our anthem.
We pray.
Friends, let us greet one another in faith.
Into a world filled with unrest and strife. We ask that you quiet our restlessness and our hearts and instill in each of us the calm assurance that tells us that you are in control so that we need not worry. Give us the tools we need to serve as you would have served us and make us willing instruments of your peace. Amen.
Good morning, Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
As Cliff mentioned in the announcements, we'd like prayers for the family of Candy Burkhart, who passed away unexpectedly Friday evening. I have a prayer request for Lynn Love, for Cody Carson. He's having his wisdom teeth surgically removed on Wednesday.
Please rise and join us for our hymn of preparation, number 96, On Jordan's Bank, the Baptists Cry. Please be seated. Since we will be celebrating communion today, I will pray during the communion liturgy. So at this time, I would like to invite us to continue to worship God by presenting our tithes and our offerings. Abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts to the glory of your kingdom here in Glenshaw Valley. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Well, I'm apologizing before I begin because
quite a few words from here I can't pronounce.
But I'll do the best I can.
Just do it with confidence. That's what I did this morning.
Okay. I'm going to read from Luke 3. Verses 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of the emperor of Tiberias, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Tyre and Trachonitis, and Lysana, ruler of Albany. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to the son of Zechariah in the wilderness. He went into all the region around Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all the flesh shall see the salvation of God. Thus is the reading of the Word of God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's easy to forget that Advent is a season of preparation for Christmas, when we usually spend the month of December preparing our homes and our families for Christmas. There are trees to be brought down from the attic, so many lights to untangle, hooks to locate for ornaments that are so old the glitter has fallen off of them. Not to mention cookies to bake and presents to wrap and Christmas sweaters to buy. Into this Advent busyness every year comes the still small voice of John the Baptist. John is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy of a voice proclaiming from the wilderness to prepare the way for the Lord. Throughout Scripture, the wilderness is this place of testing, of withdrawal, and prayer. It's fitting that John would be proclaiming from the wilderness, because at the time when he's preaching, in the cities, there's some conflict. And there's conflict between the Roman authorities and the Jewish people. The Romans were encouraging emperor worship, literal emperor worship, but also they were stamping Herod's face and name on everything from currency to the entrance to buildings. King Herod was brutalizing his people with taxes they could never pay. The people of Israel were ripe and ready for change, looking for God to once again deliver God's people and set them free from oppression. So into this myriad history comes John, going about the entire country, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John demands that we get ready for the Messiah by repenting or by asking God's forgiveness for our sins. We have to ask God to forgive us of the ways we have failed to live as God's children, of the ways we have broken the commandments, abused the earth, and failed and fostered a sense of disunity amongst our neighbors. And his challenging words don't just call us to reflect, they also call us to take steps to change our behavior. But what exactly is this baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins that John talks about? I'll start by saying a few words about baptism. So in baptism, we, or if we're too young, our parents, profess belief in Jesus. And they profess that this belief changes how they are going to live or how they are going to raise their children. But after this profession of belief calls for a repentance of sin, we confess that we are sinful beings, and apart from Jesus, will continue to be that way. And baptism, where we profess our faith or where we repent of our sin, is seen as this marker of beginning our life in Christ, because it is only through profession of faith and repentance of sin that we can receive the life and ministry and even death of Jesus. John also has a pretty specific understanding of repentance. Repentance comes from the Greek word metanoia, which means to change one's mind, to turn around, or to reorient oneself. Specifically here, John is challenging the people to turn away from their sins and to turn towards God, to seek God's forgiveness and to prepare the way for the Lord. So one of the questions we must wrestle with on this second Sunday of Advent is, how do we turn to God and turn away from our sin? I don't know about you all, but seasons of busyness can make me unattentive to my sin, particularly how my behavior is affecting other people. So during seasons of busyness, or during seasons where I'm trying to focus on repentance, I find it helpful to engage in this practice called the daily examine. Has anyone heard of the daily examine? No? Great! I'm going to explain it to you this morning. So the daily examine is actually an ancient practice of the church, and it is to help us see God at work during the entirety of our day. And it is a technique of prayerful reflection on the events of the day, so that we can see where God was in our day and maybe discern what direction God is pointing us in. Now, I like to do the examine at the end of the day, while the events of the day are still fresh in my mind. But you can also do it in the morning and reflect on the previous day. And I know some people who do it over their lunch break and reflect on the previous morning and evening. But whatever time of day you pick, you want to pick a time that you can stick with. So for example, if you are a morning person, doing the examine at 11:30 at night is probably not going to be a practice you can repeat with any regularity. In the same way, if you maybe have really small children, doing it when they're taking a nap is the best time of day to do it, which may vary depending on the day. But you want to pick a time when you've got some energy and you've got some quiet in your life. So this morning, I'm going to guide us through a daily examine prayer. We're going to do a modified version, because normally this prayer is done by yourself, and we're going to do it as a group. So when you're doing it on your own, feel free to take as long or as short as you would like, but I'm going to kind of keep us moving through the different movements so we're not here until 4 o'clock this afternoon. All right, so we're going to begin. I would like everyone to close their eyes. The first step of the examine is to become aware of God's presence. Quiet your heart and your mind of the day's worries and distractions. You may find it helpful to take several slow, centering breaths, where you breathe in the Spirit and you breathe out the day's worries. The next step of the examine is to review your day with gratitude. This is where you slowly begin to move through your day. Pay attention to the movements of the day that may seem insignificant to you. A stranger stopped to let you merge on a crowded highway. You received a Christmas card in the mail from a friend you haven't spoken to in a while. Your wife made your favorite dinner. As you make your way through the day, pause and give thanks to God for the day's blessings. The next step of the examine is to pay attention to your emotions. As you go through your day a third time, pay attention to the emotions you're feeling in your body as you move through the day. Where did you experience anger or joy or peace or frustration or even boredom? Pay particular attention to where you experienced a surprising emotion, as well as maybe where you found yourself feeling an inappropriate emotion, knowing that God uses our emotions to point us in different directions. Next, I want you to choose one part of your day and pray from it. Now, you want to keep this as simple and as straightforward as you can. So, for example, one prayer that I find myself praying a lot lately is, "Lord, I'm sorry I rolled my eyes at my coach when he told me to get lower on my back squats. He just wants me to improve my form. The next time I'm doing back squats, help me to listen to him and to receive his criticism well." The final part of the examine is to look towards tomorrow. And this is the part of the prayer where you want to ask God's forgiveness for areas where you have sinned and fallen short. Ask the Holy Spirit for protection and help. Reflect on how you are forgiven and how, because of Jesus, you don't have to take yesterday's sins into tomorrow. All right, everyone can open their eyes now. How did that work for everyone? Does it seem like something you could maybe incorporate into your life? It's okay, you don't have to answer me now. What I love about this type of prayer is it's a type of prayer that can be done when you are feeling busy and overwhelmed. We did that in about 5 minutes, but you can do it efficiently between 10 and 20 minutes when you're on your own, which is the perfect amount of time to pray at the end of the day. I like to use the examine particularly when I'm traveling and I don't have like kind of my normal things around me to help get me in the prayerful state of mind. And it's particularly helpful when you really want to remember the events of your day, but you're having trouble putting them together. And I also think this is a particularly helpful practice during Advent because it helps us see our lives through the lens of the Holy Spirit. On this second Sunday in Advent, we typically celebrate peace. And I believe that when we learn to repent of our sin, when we learn to ask God's forgiveness, we can find peace with ourselves, with one another, and with our world. Because we know that God loves us and that God forgives our sin when we ask God to. John's message of repentance is actually really good news for those of us who feel conflicted with ourselves. Because repentance prepares us to receive the way of the Lord. To accept John's message of repentance and practice repentance in our daily lives is to be ready for the Messiah. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Please join us for our communion hymn, number 533.
Lord, we ask you to strengthen those who are going through a difficult time. We pray for the family and friends of Candy Winters after her unexpected passing. Especially, Lord, be with her son, Gino, as he prepares and plans for her funeral. Lord, we pray especially that you would be with her family, help them to come together during this difficult time. Lord, we also pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters throughout the country who are experiencing unusual and unprecedented snowfall, particularly our brothers and sisters in Tennessee and North Carolina. We pray that you would help them deal and manage with the weather well and help them to protect themselves and their families. Lord, as we enter into winter here, we pray that you would be with us as we navigate snow and ice and cold weather. Finally, Lord, we present our joys to you with gratitude. Lord, we thank you that in the midst of this busy season of Advent, you continue to send prophets like John the Baptist to remind us who and what we are preparing for. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Through Christ, with Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, now and forever. Let us pray for God's rule on earth, as Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
On the night of his arrest, our Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the sign of the new covenant, sealed for you in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins. That whenever you drink this, do this in remembrance of me." The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
God, we thank you that you have fed us in your sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet. In your eternal kingdom, send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please rise and join with me in our closing hymn, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Believe this and go in his grace, love, and power.